today, looking at Joseph. You know, we actually don't hear Joseph speak a word in the Bible. And today's text in Matthew chapter 1 gives us probably the deepest insight into what he was like and what he was going through before he would have sung this song of holding baby Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, before we get to that, just think about what's the heaviest thing you've ever had on your heart, on your mind, in life. Something that was just weighing so heavily in your thoughts, you started to even get through anything else without that thing weighing. And along with that, leading to a decision, a heavy decision, a decision you never wanted to have to make, and yet you really saw no other choice now but you had to do what you had in mind to do. And then, have you ever had a dream that changed everything, brought some new thinking, some new light into that thing, that heaviness? And again, it changes everything so that you saw a whole new course of action laid out before you. Well, that's what Joseph experienced that we're going to get to. The memory verse for today, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This is the angel in the dream speaking to Joseph. And the angel said, Matthew 1, 21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, now starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. What was heavy on Joseph's mind? Well, the NIV Bible that I read from here, it says that he and Mary were pledged to be married. And we read that today, and that sounds to us probably like engagement. Well, it was not exactly engagement. They were, and again, this ancient word that is much better, they were betrothed to one another. And marriage in ancient Judaism had three main stages. The first one, called ketubah, was when the groom would make a contract with his bride's father. And this contract, this agreement, this covenant would involve payment from the groom to the father and the terms for that, which often involved work, not just a straight payment, but a year up to 7 years of working to make that payment for his bride. The second stage was called kiddushin, and that is where the couple then, groom and bride, would make a mutual pledge to one another. And Joseph and Mary, as we read this text, were in that stage. There had been an agreement with Mary's father between Joseph and him, and now Mary and Joseph had also made a mutual pledge one to another. So they were pledged to be married, but they were betrothed at this point. In legal terms, they were married, They just had not reached stage three, which would be when the bride would leave her father's house after that payment was fulfilled and then go to join her groom, her husband. And that was stage three. They had not reached that yet. And that's when they would consummate their marriage together. We see an example of this, at least the early stages, back in Genesis chapter 29. Jacob had fallen in love with Laban's daughter named Rachel. And Jacob and Laban came to an agreement, stage one, that Jacob would work for 7 years in order to marry Rachel. Jacob fulfills that. He works 7 years to pay, and then he gets married, and he thinks it's Rachel. But the next morning, as we read it back in Genesis, it was not Rachel, actually, but her older sister, Leah. And so Jacob goes to Laban and says, I intended to marry Rachel, and here's Leah. Well, Laban said it's not our custom to marry off the younger daughter before the older, so that was Leah. Now they agree for Jacob to work 7 more years in order to marry Rachel. They reverse that, so he does marry Rachel then, but then works 7 more years. Well, that third stage again is when the bride would leave her father's household to join her now husband and consummate their marriage. And you can imagine Joseph, betrothed to Mary, working toward that. We don't see the terms here. We don't know what the payment will be. And yet, he's in that stage. He's probably filled with anticipation, joyful anticipation of paying off that contract and getting to be able to take Mary home as his bride. When he learns, it says, Mary was found to be pregnant. Now, Mary, as we'd read last week in Luke, when she learned from the angel Gabriel that she was to conceive by the Holy Spirit and that her son would be the Son of God, she went off to the hill country of Judea to see her relative Elizabeth, who was also pregnant at the time, 6 months pregnant. And it said Mary had spent 3 months with Elizabeth. And then when John the Baptist, Elizabeth and Zechariah's son, was born, Mary returned to Nazareth. 3 months later, Joseph finds, it's obvious actually now, Mary's pregnant. Mary's pregnant. Well, this now was obviously very heavy on Joseph's mind. Joseph and Mary, they knew the Ten Commandments. Mary was called righteous by the Lord, meaning she looked to him, trusted in him, believed in him, and obeyed his commands. Joseph, considered righteous by the Lord, meaning Joseph looked to the Lord, trusted in him, obeyed him, knew the commands, and followed them. Commandment 1, you shall have no other gods before me. Number 2, you shall not make any graven images to bow down and worship. Number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number 4, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Number 5, honor your father and mother. Number 6, you shall not murder. Number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, adultery, of course, is unfaithfulness from the marriage covenant that included pre-marriage. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 21, if a woman in ancient Israel was found to be unfaithful to her husband-to-be in that betrothal, Deuteronomy 22, verse 21 says, she shall be brought to the door of her father's house, and there the men of her town shall stone her to death. She has done an outrageous thing in Israel by being promiscuous while still in her father's house. You must purge the evil from among you. Joseph knew that ancient law. By the time of Mary and Joseph, over 2,000 years ago now, the Romans under which they were living, Roman Empire, had done away with the Jewish death penalty overall. We hear that when Jesus is about to be crucified. Pontius Pilate says, take this into your own hands. They say, we don't have the authority to put someone to death. However, they all knew the laws from ancient Israel, and some of that was still in play. There had been times they had tried to kill Jesus. And in fact, in John chapter 8, we read about the Pharisees, others bringing a woman who had been caught in adultery to Jesus. Now, they're trying to get Jesus tripped up here. But they're taking stones. According to the ancient law, they want to see what Jesus says, should she for adultery be stoned to death. So it was still around. Joseph was aware that this law was still around. He was righteous. He wanted to follow God's law and do the right thing. He did not want physical death for Mary. But he decided on another kind of death, the death of their betrothal, the death of their marriage, and really the death of their future together. All his hopes, joys, dreams completely changed. Said he had considered this and decided to divorce her, not publicly, not wanting that shame and disgrace, although it wouldn't be kept secret for sure, but to do it quietly, privately, and go to another course of life. There was one grounds for divorce. In Malachi, it says the Lord hates divorce, or maybe it was in Micah, actually. God never intended for a marriage to be separated. Jesus picks up on this. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus finished saying these things. He left Galilee, went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him. He healed them there. Some Pharisees, always seeking to trip him up. Pharisees came to Jesus to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, Jesus replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? And Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. And he goes on. And back in Deuteronomy again, there was the one grounds, and that was if a man found indecency in his wife or his betrothed-to-be wife, and indecency covered sexual immorality. That was the one basis that God allowed, but still did not want. Joseph wrestling with all of this. Mary? He knew Mary. He knew she knew the law. He knew she sought to be righteous, but she's obviously pregnant. That can only mean one thing. He decides to divorce her quietly. How could anyone change Joseph's mind in and on this matter? How can an angel from the Lord changed Joseph's mind once he has weighed all this and it's weighing on him and he's decided to divorce her quietly? Probably no one else even knew that Joseph had come to this full decision, but God knew. God knew Joseph's heart. God knew Joseph's mind, what he'd considered and what he was planning to do. God sends an angel to visit Joseph while he's sleeping. While he's sleeping. You know, when you're asleep and you're dreaming, your guard is down. It's different from during the day when you're just thinking and weighing all these different things. And when you're asleep, I mean, you're asleep. And when you're dreaming, well, you're dreaming. Things might seem real, but your guard is kind of down to accept and receive things that during the daytime you'd be like, no, no. Well, God knew also, what did Joseph look to and hold on to? God's very own word. He was faithful to the law. The Hebrew word for law is Torah. It's not just the commands. It's all of God's teaching and instruction. Joseph would listen to that. So, when the Lord sends an angel to visit Joseph while he's sleeping in a dream, you know what the angel says to Joseph? It's alluded to here. It's actually referenced, but it's not real explicit. But the angel actually says the words of Isaiah 7:14 to Joseph. And Joseph would have known those prophetic words. So listen to this. Here's a back and forth between Isaiah 7:14, the prophecy, and what the angel says in Matthew 1:20 and 21. Isaiah 7:14, here's the sign that will be given. The virgin will conceive. The angel says to Joseph, what is conceived in her, in Mary? The virgin will conceive. What is conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. Therefore, ergo, subtext, Mary is still, Joseph, a virgin. The virgin will conceive. That's impossible to our reasoning, to our makeup. For us, it is impossible. Joseph, what is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. She's still a virgin. God did this miracle. And now we come to our memory verse. Back in Isaiah 7:14, it goes on, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Memory verse, the angel says to Joseph, she will give birth to a son. It's almost direct from Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14 again, and give birth to a son and will call him, angel to Joseph, and you are to give him the name. Isaiah 7:14, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Angel to Joseph, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Even in a dream, or maybe when he woke up, Joseph is hearing Isaiah 7:14. Mary, my betrothed, is a virgin. She is pregnant, not by any man, not by any man, but by God's Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, Emmanuel, God with us in Mary's womb. And I am to name him, call him Jesus. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. The Lord is salvation. Now, the Jews in first century AD were, when they hear salvation, when they were looking for their Messiah, they were thinking, save us from Rome, thinking of this worldly life, this kingdom under Rome, get us out under their thumb, save us from that. They weren't necessarily, in fact, mostly thinking about eternal salvation from our sins. This was big. What weight could possibly displace the weight of the heavy decision that Joseph had come to in his mind and heart for a man who was faithful to God's Torah? Well, what could displace it but another word from God himself? And now, not from the Torah, if you will, which are usually considered the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses, but also the Nevi'im. That's a Hebrew word for the prophets. And I think of Isaiah as the prophet of prophets. And God has an angel speak God's word from the prophet Isaiah to Joseph, and everything changes. Before that, of course, the angel had said, do not be afraid. Now, as we looked at in the past few weeks, when an angel appears to someone, often the very first words the angel says, in order for that person to even hear what the angel will say next, is, fear not. Do not be afraid, because the very appearance, the manifestation of an angel will cause fear. Again, if an angel made himself manifest right here in our presence right now, you would not be hearing anything else I'm saying, and we would be looking, and we would feel very, if not terrified, very uneasy, very distracted, very you name it. In this case, though, it's in a dream. Again, your guard is kind of down. It is down when you're dreaming. And here the angel doesn't say, fear not because I'm here, an angel. He says, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. All these other fears about the pregnancy, about the shame, about the disgrace, about divorce, about the future, about all of this heaviness, don't be afraid. I'm going to clear all that out. Joseph, you do get to take her. You will, you should take Mary home. That's stage 3 again, right? She will leave her father's house and now come to your house, Joseph, and be your lawfully, lawfully wedded wife, still in accord with the law. She is still a virgin. It is pure. Another subtext to this is Mary has not only still been faithful to you, Joseph, she is faithful to you. She's faithful to the Lord. Take her home to be your wife. Well, what would Joseph do now? Well, of course, first of all, he will wake up from this sleep, from this dream, from this visit from an angel of the Lord. He would wake up from that nightmare. Everything, we don't know how long it had been since when he found out she was pregnant. I mean, shock. This was shock when he discovered Mary's pregnant. There's five stages often looked at for grief, and usually it's applied to when someone loses a loved one from death. These five stages, but they actually apply to any loss, any kind of death, if you will, including what Joseph would have been experiencing. And the first stage is denial. Mary pregnant? No, how? It's obvious, and yet this rationally doesn't, denying the truth, the reality. Anger. We don't read that Joseph got angry, but often the anger isn't even applied in this case, could have been to Mary, could have been to, we don't, you know, his thoughts. Who was the man? She went off to the hill country of Judea, has gone 3 months, she comes back, she's pregnant. Where else had she been besides Elizabeth and Zechariah's home? All the thoughts would have been there. Anger at the man, this unknown ghost, anger even at God, in this case, not because he knows what happened, because he doesn't know. God, how could you? How? And then bargaining is the third stage. This is completely rational, and yet when you do go through these stages, nothing is irrational. It all is normal. Bargaining is when you're usually bargaining with God, saying, Lord, if you would bring this person back, if you would make her not pregnant, if you would fix this situation, I will do this. It's, again, it's bargaining. I'll do this, Lord, if you would make this go away or bring this person back, or it doesn't make sense, but it's a stage. It's where the mind goes just to deal with this heaviness. And then after that is grief, it's sadness, it's even possibly depression. The heaviness. The fifth stage is acceptance. It doesn't mean things are great. It just means your mind, your heart, everything, now you know it's real, and this is the new reality. And the other stages can come back. There's no even set order. But imagine, he woke from that nightmare, but also then that fog. Even when you get to acceptance, now you're possibly in this kind of state of being in a fog. In the bulletin last week, I said the question to consider for this Sunday is, how would you, upon reading this text, describe Joseph's character? Well, verse 20, Matthew 1, verse 20 says, he didn't find out she's pregnant and immediately say, okay, we're getting divorced, that's it. Or immediately say, oh, no problem, we'll just separate and go, you know. No, the word in verse 20 is, after Joseph had considered. The weight in this word considered, the Greek word is enthumiomai, means to think deeply, to meditate, to ponder, to reflect. Joseph, like Mary, was a deep thinker. He didn't come to impulsive, rash decisions. He would have been, we use that word, weighing this in his mind, in his heart. Think of him now accepting the reality she's pregnant. There's only one conclusion. Death is not an, you know, her physical death. I don't want to publicly disgrace her, Lord. What can I do? Imagine him in his carpenter shop, in his woodworking place where that's what he did, trying to work while all this is weighing, and probably just limbs going weak. Not even having the strength to do it. He's just pondering. What am I going to do? Well, now he has awakened from that fog. The angel, the words from the angel, which are the words from the Lord, have now changed everything. Not only brought the joy and hope of their future together back, but in a way he would have never imagined. Fulfilling the prophet Isaiah, she's still a virgin, she's pregnant. I am to be her husband. This baby will be, in the world's eyes, my son. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. All that fog, concern, heaviness, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Stage 3. Doesn't tell us, you know, the conversation, how it occurred, how much time went by, but she was still pregnant, so it occurred fairly quickly then after he woke up. And normally there would have been a ceremony at this point. Before the bride does go with the groom to his home, that's when we picture kind of the celebration and the reception and, you know, the wedding in Cana and all that going on. We don't read about that. I'm guessing this probably took place maybe even without all that. Quietly seems to fit his character as well. But what conversations then in the ensuing months between Joseph and Mary? Can you imagine? And it gives us the information. The angel didn't say, and do not come together with her until after the baby's born. It does tell us, though, that they did not come together. They did not consummate their marriage in this final stage until after Jesus was born. Virgin conception and virgin birth. No doubt about where this baby came from. From no man, but from God. Give him the name Jesus. Gabriel had also told Mary that his name will be called Jesus. But the naming, Joseph naming this boy, this baby, was a way of legally now adopting him as his own son. I'm naming you Jesus. And now, you're not my son, but you're my son. Because he will save his people from their sins. How did Joseph process that? You know, I'm wondering, again, before the time came, which we'll get to next week, for the baby to be born, he and Mary are now in the house together. She is with him in Joseph's home, in their home. She's pregnant. I'm wondering if Joseph, you know, maybe went to the synagogue and asked for the scriptures of Isaiah. He had heard them before. Reading them now and finding the place the virgin will conceive. And then maybe glancing if Mary's there, looking over at her and give birth to a son called Emmanuel. And I'm going to name him Jesus. I wonder if he kept reading along in Isaiah to chapter 53, save his people, he had heard from the angel, from their sins. In Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it goes on in Isaiah 53 that he would be a sin offering for his people. I wonder if Joseph processed all of that. I wouldn't be surprised if he did. Next week, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. When there's a census throughout the whole Roman Empire, and Joseph and Mary are going from now Nazareth, their home, to Bethlehem. Luke 2, 1 through 7, question to consider. Why the layers of the answer? Why did Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is life-giving. It's life-changing. And both those were true for Joseph. He was given new life. His marriage with Mary was given renewed life, as the life in her womb is the life that would save all lives who would believe in him. Lord, wow. Thank you for Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen.